Our epistle for this fourth Sunday of Lent is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 4, verses 22 to 31. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a slave girl, the other by a free woman. And the son of the slave girl was born according to the flesh, but the son of the free woman in virtue of the promise. This is said by way of allegory. For these are the two covenants, one indeed from Mount Sinai, bringing forth children unto bondage, which is Hagar. For Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which corresponds to the present Jerusalem, and is in slavery with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother, for it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that dost not bear, break forth and cry, thou that dost not travail. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that has a husband. Now we, brethren, are children of the promise, as Isaac was. But as then he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does Scripture say? Cast out the slave girl and her son, for the son of the slave girl shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Therefore, brethren, we are not children of the slave girl, but of the free woman, in virtue of the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. At that time Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias. And there followed him a great crowd, because they witnessed the signs he worked on those who were sick. Jesus therefore went up the mountain and sat there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. When therefore Jesus had lifted up his eyes and seen that a very great crowd had come to him, he said to Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? But he said this to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough for them, that each one may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, There is a young boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? Jesus then said, Make the people recline. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore reclined in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, distributed them to those reclining, and likewise the fishes, as much as they wished. But when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that are left over, lest they be wasted. They therefore gathered them up, and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. When the people therefore had seen the sign which Jesus had worked, they said, This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. So when Jesus perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him king, he fled again to the mountain himself alone. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. He himself knew what he would do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, I first would like to start off today's sermon with telling you a little bit about the mission I was on last week. I was in Omaha helping the bishop out, and then traveled to Topeka, Kansas. And I was asked to do a few sick calls, and there was this one sick call that was quite an amazing sermon to me. I've been thinking about it all week. I went to this house of a large, pretty large family. A lady, she was 30 years old, and she was dying of cancer. I won't be surprised in the next few days if I hear that she passed. She has 8 plus children, I think. 30 years old. And in my communication with her, one of her greatest concerns was abandoning her children. Oh, you're not abandoning your children. This is a cross that God has given to you. But I was thinking about that throughout the week. And it was a profound lesson of identifying love. That's love. A mother's love for her children. So please pray for her and her family. They've been asked a great cross, a great sacrifice. But we have demonstrated to us so often a greater love. If we but open up our eyes, it is the opportunity that we have that has been purchased for us to be a part of the kingdom of God. You know, interestingly, during Lent, I've noticed it this year more than in past Lents, but the focus on the concept of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. I mean, we have the first Sunday and you have Satan tempting Christ and takes him and shows him up, takes him to a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and says, I'll give it all to you. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. We have the second Sunday where we have Christ takes Peter, James, and John up to the top of the mountain and there is transfigured and they see just a glimpse of his divinity. And he's talking to Moses and Elias about the price he's going to pay in order so that the kingdom can be established. And the Heavenly Father speaks, and they are terrified, and they fall flat on their face. Last week, we have our Lord's working miracles, and the enemies of Christ are trying to look for an opportunity, which they cannot find, to attack him. So they come up with probably the worst attack you can think of, but also very insulting, because they're saying that Christ is using the power of the devil to cast out devils. And so Christ takes the opportunity to explain the two kingdoms. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. He talks about the kingdom of Satan. And he talks about the opportunity that a man has to be a part of that kingdom. But if he just goes to confession and gets all cleaned up but doesn't do anything, he will take the demon that was cast out will take seven more evil than himself, and the last state of the man will become worse than the first. To have part with the kingdom of God is meaning to have part with God. And today, we are told, or we are reminded of the currency of the kingdom of heaven. Receiving the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Eucharist. When it says in Scripture today that Christ knew what he would do, yes, he was talking about that miracle, but I think St. John took special delight in promoting this miracle as the prefigurement that it was of the Holy Eucharist. I mean, take a look at the other things that he writes of in this gospel. Why would he write that there was much grass in this field and have them recline? There's only one connection that I can make, and it comes from the Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and he leads me to green pastures. And he leads us too. We have an opportunity to have part with that kingdom, to have part with Christ. But not just to receive him on our tongue, but to receive him in our heart and to make him a part of our day in order so that we can be a part of his eternity. That's what he offers. Next Sunday, well, at the end they see the miracle that he does, and they try to take him by force and make him king, and so he hides. That's not the type of kingdom that he's going to have. Next Sunday, he tells them the king that he is. I and the Father are one and the same, and they take up stones to cast at him. That's why all the statues will be covered with purple. The following Sunday, he proceeds, we remember the procession, as the king into Jerusalem. Willingly did he ride in this procession because he knew where he was going. His throne wouldn't be gold, it would be wood. And he was going to purchase that kingdom for us with his death to the very last drop of his blood. And of course, we have on Easter him rising as the king he is, the victory over the enemy, the devil, over death, and over sin. I think it's important, my dear friend in Christ, for us to really pay attention to the gifts that we have been given. A gift, by the way, which through the centuries they have tried to destroy, the enemies of Christ. As they tried to destroy him when he was alive on earth and attack him. And we have this happening. And you just have to open your eyes. Those who claim ignorance, Christ says they have eyes but do not see and ears but do not hear. Why? It's too much work, quote unquote, to figure out the truth. Oh, but Christ does say, all who are of the truth hear my voice. Either we're part with the truth or we're not. And if we're not, we can have part with his kingdom in heaven. Plain and simple. You are either with me or you are against me. That's the line that he draws. You either gather with me or you scatter. That's the truth of the matter. And the decision is ours, nobody else's decision. And like that lady, that 30-year-old lady, who in a few days will be dead, well, she goes on to eternity, a place we also will be called to. And when we go into eternity and we stand before Almighty God, he's going to look at us, and he's either going to say, well done, well done. You sought the truth. You lived according to the truth. You made good use of the gifts that I gave you. Come, enter into the kingdom. Or he's going to say, I don't know you. Why would he say he doesn't know us? Because we don't reflect him to himself. He's not in our hearts. So my dear friends in Christ, as we go along with Lent, let us do so joyfully in understanding the gifts that we have been given. Let us also check ourselves to make sure we're making good use of the opportunities that we have been given, dying to ourselves in order so that we can live more with Christ in time and from time to eternity. Remember, we were given this freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. And we have that opportunity today, as he will come down on our altar and be with us. But whether or not he's one within us, well, that's up to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.